793, fearful prodigies terrified the wretched nation of the Angles, inasmuch as horrible lightning and dragons in the air and flashes and fire were often seen glancing and flying to and fro, which signs indicated the great famine and the terrible and unutterable slaughter of multitudes which ensued. In the same year, the pagans from the northern region came with a naval armament to Britain, like stinging hornets, and overran the country in all directions, like fierce wolves, plundering, tearing, and killing not only sheep and oxen, but priests and Levites, and choirs of monks and nuns. They came, as we before said, to the church of Lindisfarne, and laid all waste with dreadful havoc, trod with unhallowed feet the holy places, dug up the altars, and carried off all the treasures of the holy church. Some of the brethren they killed, some they carried off in chains, many they cast out, naked and loaded with insults. Some they drowned in the sea. In the year 229, a letter arrived in the capital, Cordoba, from the governor of Lisbon. He wrote therein that Majus had been seen on the coast of his province in 54 ships and in the same number of smaller vessels. Abdulrahman gave to him, as to other governors in provinces adjoining the sea, authority to take all needful measures. Majus arrived in Seville in about 80 ships. One might say they had, as it were, filled the ocean with dark red birds, in the same way that they had filled the hearts of men with fear and trembling. After landing at Lisbon, they sailed to Cadiz, then to Sedona, then to Seville. They besieged this city and took it by storm. After letting the inhabitants suffer the terrors of imprisonment or death, they remained there for 7 days, during which they let the people empty the cup of bitterness. As soon as Abdulrahman had news of this, he gave to the Hajib command of the cavalry. Muslim hastened to gather under the banner of this general and to join him as closely as the eyelid is joined to the eye. Great chieftains also joined the cavalry. The commander-in-chief made a high hill near Seville his headquarters and wrote to the governors all round to command them to call their men to arms. They went to Cordoba, and the eunuch Nasir took them to the army. But the Majus continually received reinforcements. They continued for 13 days to kill men and drag women and children into slavery. After some skirmishes with Muslim, the Majus went to Captel, an island in the Guadalquivir, where they stayed 3 days. They then entered Caura, 12 miles from Seville, where they murdered many people. They then took Taliata, 2 miles from Seville. There they spent the night and were seen next morning at Al-Fakarin. Then they re-embarked and joined battle with Muslim, who were put to flight and lost so many men that they could not be numbered. After returning to their ships, Majus sailed to Sedona and then to Cadiz. At last, when war engines were used against them and reinforcements had arrived from Cordoba, Majus were put to flight. The Moors killed about 500 of their men and took 4 of their ships with all of their cargoes. They were burnt after selling all that was found in them. Many were killed, others hanged at Seville, others hanged in the palm trees at Taliata, and 30 of their ships were burnt. Those who escaped from the bloodshed embarked. They went to Niebla and then to Lisbon and were no more heard of. What is this? What is this grievous and heavy blow and wrath? Why has this dreadful bolt fallen on us out of the farthest north? What clouds compacted of woes and condemnation have violently collided to force out this irresistible lightning upon us? Why has this thick, sudden half-storm of barbarians burst forth? Not one that hews down the stalks of wheat or strikes the stems of plants and tears the branches apart, but miserably grinding up men's very bodies and bitterly destroying the whole nation. Why or how have the lees of so many and great disasters been poured out on us? An obscure peoples, a nation of no account, a nation ranked among slaves, unknown, but which has won a name from the expedition against us. Insignificant, but now become famous. Humble and destitute, but now risen to a splendid height and immense wealth. A nation dwelling somewhere far from our country. Barbarous, nomadic, armed with arrogance, unwatched, unchallenged, leaderless, has so suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, like a wave of the sea, poured over our frontiers, and as a wild boar has devoured the inhabitants of the land like grass or straw or a crop, sparing nothing from man to beast, not respecting female weakness, not pitying tender infants, not reverencing the hoary hairs of old men, softened by nothing that is wont to move human nature to pity, even when it has sunk to that of wild beasts, but boldly thrusting their sword through persons of every age and sex. One could see babes torn by them from breast and milk and life itself, and finding an improvised grave in the rocks against which, alas, they were dashed, mothers wailing miserably. Nay, nor did the savagery stop with human beings, but all over, speechless animals, oxen, horses, fowls, and others, which they fell upon, did their cruelty extend. Everything was full of dead bodies. The flow of rivers was turned into blood. Some of the fountains and reservoirs it was no longer possible to distinguish, as their cavities were made level with corpses. Cornland was rotting with dead bodies. Roads were obstructed. Forests took on a wild and desolate aspect because of the corpses rather than because of the bushes and solitude. Caverns were filled up. Mountains, hills, ravines, and gullies differed in no way from city cemeteries. Thus, the calamitous destruction spread on, and the plague of war, born on the wings of sin, flew all round about, destroying everything it encountered. On the 25th of July, the whole host of Northmen forced their way to Rem. Their ships had not yet come, so they crossed the Seine in boats they found there and quickly fortified themselves. Thereupon, the rage of the Northmen was let loose upon the land. They thirsted for fire and slaughter. They killed Christian people and took them captive and destroyed churches, and no man could resist them. In the month of November, the Northmen entered the Uas and besieged the castle the Franks had built. They cut off the water supply from the castle's garrison, for it depended on the river for water and had no other. Soon they, who were shut up in the castle, began to suffer for lack of water. What more need be said? They surrendered on condition that they be allowed to go forth unharmed. Elated with victory, the Northmen appeared before Paris and at once attacked a tower, confident that they could take it quickly because it was not fully fortified. But the Christians defended it manfully, and the battle raged from morning till evening. The next day, the Northmen returned and tried to storm the tower, and they fought fiercely till sunset. They pitched a camp before the city and laid siege to it, and bent all their energies to capture it. But the Christians fought bravely and stood their ground. The guard resisted valiantly, and the clamor of the magnitude arose to heaven. The bishop was on the city wall with all the inhabitants. The people wept and groaned because they could not aid their own. The bishop commended them all to Christ, because there was nothing else he could do. The Northmen tried to break in the gate of the tower and finally set fire to it. Those who were within, weakened by wounds, were conquered by fire, and to the shame of Christianity, they were killed in diverse ways and cast into the river. The Northmen then destroyed the tower, and afterward they ceased not to assault the city itself. Otto saw how the people were falling into despair, and he went forth secretly to seek aid from the nobles of the kingdom, and to send word to the emperor that the city would soon be lost unless help came. When Otto returned to Paris, he found the city lamenting his absence. Nor did he re-enter the city without a remarkable incident. The Northmen had learned that he was coming back, and they blocked his way to the gate. But Otto, though his horse was killed, struck down his enemies right and left, forced his way into the city, and brought joy to the anxious people. The siege had lasted 8 months when the Emperor came to relieve the city. It was in the autumn that he appeared before Paris with a very strong army, but he did not force them to raise the siege. He made terms with them and signed a shameful treaty. He promised to pay a ransom for the city and gave them leave to march unopposed into Burgundy to plunder it during the winter.